You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Welcome to the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, full cast. We're doing a hybrid thing,
crisp,
everybody.
Always crisp.
Always. Landed it. Straight on the carrier, all three pieces of landing gear down.
Have you guys seen Splice, the movie?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing.
It's probably a good thing.
I was trying to think of the first human-animal hybrid movie that came to mind, and it turns out to be one where Adrian Brody ends up trying to bone the human-animal hybrid he's been raising as his own daughter.
This is exactly what I wanted to talk about.
This somehow skated under the radar.
That's... Is this the movie where she just looked at him and goes, inside you?
Yes.
Okay. I do remember that. I do. For all of the wrong reasons.
Like, there's an Alphabet record playing in the background.
That's an amazing, amazing way to start the show. I am Spencer Hall of the Shutdown Full Cast and several other properties, including Metalark Media's own DNF with Jessica Smetana. She's carrying all of you sons of bitches back there on her back. The world's best F1 podcast. This, we are members of the internet's only college football podcast, which is why they have us here today ahead of week zero in college football. The sport so good that we have a week that doesn't even really count. A week so good where we do what most
the
restaurants
NFL
do.
Four of those. What are you talking about?
No. Listen, the NFL doesn't put Duquesne league out there.
What if they could? Are you telling me they wouldn't if they could?
We're doing Duquesne again.
Again.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the one school I could remember that's playing, right? It's Florida State, Duquesne. I'm doing that for the Miami people who are like, today I get to like blatantly pander to Canes fans, which
I don't
is awesome.
Think you can say that
it means I don't have to.
Slurs on the air.
I don't have to know anything.
Are you
first
confident
of all
the Bears would beat Duquesne?
No. I am not. Not
beat,
in the least.
Yeah, beat, yes, but not score on somehow.
We got reminded by reader James Coleman 46 minutes ago that the last time Duquesne played an FBS school in Florida, they won the Orange Bowl. Bet accordingly.
Yeah, whatever the line is, y'all.
DraftKings.
I'll quote Mike Ruiz here. That's a lot of points. That's my favorite. That's my favorite Mike Ruiz lines. Whenever it comes up on a line, he's like, that's a lot of points. It's always a lot of points. Especially when you're a Miami fan and you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know anything to buy it. It's like, I'm not making fun of you. I am jealous of your freedom. You could just enter Canes fandom with a hand sign and enthusiasm. Vibes only.
Sometimes you need a costume.
When?
At a foam party.
Sometimes.
That's what they wear all the time.
Sometimes it's like, hey, you need to dress up like Indiana Jones, but in Miami colors for some reason.
Sometimes you need to be a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
A stormtrooper with Mardi Gras flair.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just got out of the academy, but you want to keep it festive. Yeah.
What academy?
I think you need that, and you need a system that judges all college football teams based on how many NFL Pro Bowlers they later produced. Like, you have to retroactively assign national championships based on that.
Tennessee Miami should start thinking about adopting that program.
Or not.
It's been a while. It's so early for you to start this shit with me.
It's fine.
Miami? I got Michael Felder going on television and saying Tennessee's going to win 10 games this year. I don't need this. I don't need this on my heart.
Pick. That's your playoff pick.
That's not my fault.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's coming anyway. You're on this team.
Should explain for people who are new to this program that we picked our playoff teams by rolling a 20-sided die, and I got my alma mater.
Nope, we picked them based on what our serious personal analysis, mm-hmm. our actual sincere opinions.
Yep. Proprietary yes, stats that we that can't share.
That is why my other playoff so pair is pick is Vanderbilt. That's correct.
Yep. Yep. That's true. If you want those proprietary stats, subscribe to Channel 6, the newsletter, $10 a month for the most complicated statistical analysis guaranteed to get you gambling winnings. Description not legal, may not apply to said website.
The state of Tennessee is kind of like a football vacuum, and therefore it's sucking in all the football talent, all the football goodness from the surrounding states.
I'm going to turn you upside down and shake you.
There's nothing there.
Ryan, you've made the first ever argument that like Tennessee can recruit in the modern era. Like there's not a lot of talent being sucked toward Tennessee.
I regret the error.
Okay, this is actually, I think you may have accidentally stumbled onto an explanation
of
how several programs managed to be historically great. Because if you look across the history of college football, look at the teams that have been good in the sort of pre-modern, modern era since 1950. Most of them are places that have had negative population growth or that you do not want to go or have other serious issues societally, culturally, and economically. So let's just go ahead and look at the great programs. Nebraska, my point proves itself, a vast sucking noise somewhere in Nebraska drew talent to Lincoln for over 30 to 40 years of success.
Oh, people just love the tricameral legislature, my dude. People love it.
they're crazy for it.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna derail this completely because talk of my home state makes me twitch. Hobby Lobby's trending again today.
Yes.
One of our
Hobby Lobby. What did you steal?
I'm not going to look at why. I'm just going to say, speaking of Indiana Jones,
I really hope they've tried to steal something else. If you're not familiar, Hobby Lobby, a small craft store that eventually formed into one of the world's biggest thieves of antiquity, one of the biggest crime rings when it came to stealing the treasures of Sumeria, Babylon, and other ancient empires. That's what the American dream is. I started a small craft shop so that we could steal the antiquities of ancient Eurasia.
Am I jealous that we didn't think of this first? Kinda.
I hope whatever they stole was French so that we get to hear a bunch of French officials go, Obi Lubi. Obi Lubi.
It looks like they are trending because they are openly calling for theocracy and Christo-fascism.
That's new.
I liked it more when they did it subtly by raiding antiquity.
Live, laugh, Leviticus.
That's what I've got on my wall.
How would you think? Like, okay, listen, I'd buy a print of Gilgamesh if it was in that live, laugh, love font.
I think, I would too.
Just put it up on the wall.
I would buy all kinds of sports quotes if you could put them in, because Leviticus is sports, right?
What if we went through every locker? Man, going through all the locker rooms in the offseason and just changing all the quotes on the wall to sorority fonts.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
The new font is now, it's like an all caps, very tall lettering. Like, and it's all in all these mugs at Hobby Lobby.
It kind of looks like Among Us, right?
Yeah,
it kind of looks like the Among Us
font.
It's
like blessed. Like, I was at Home Goods the other day, and it was like on this plate, and it was like taco dirty to me, and like hut hut hack. Man. There's a new font. The sorority font, it's no longer swoopy. It's very straight and very narrow, and it's on all caps.
Okay, they're saving the swoopy for the custom neon signs. Thank you for reminding me of the greatest piece of signage I've ever seen in one of these establishments. This was in Leeds, Alabama, so I don't know how it didn't get burned to the ground because this is Auburn country, but it says, "And as for me and my house, we will serve tacos."
Jess, how many Home Goods trips are you making in a month?
It's almost Halloween, 17? Man.
Yeah, Halloween stuff came out last month, actually, the end of July, so... I have been.
Oh, Jess, have we never talked about this on the air? We have similar interests here.
The giant? Are you talking about our giant friend?
No, I'm talking about 17 annual trips to buy Halloween decorations at low, low prices.
I love Halloween. I will go apeshit for candy corn colored cupcake holders, for Halloween colored sprinkles, for anything with a skull on it or a skeleton. I'm going.
Are you a big fan of the neighbor who just puts out murder? There's inevitably one person in the neighborhood who just decides that I'm going to put a crime scene in my front yard because that's what I've always wanted
Kids
to do. And I'm going to call it Halloween.
Chris
Kids
Whittingham just calls it practice.
Hey, listen, if you had a kill room and you had a live, laugh, love thing, you'd laugh, right? Like if woke up in someone's kill room and you're like, ah.
What's the point of having a kill room and not enjoying it?
Yeah, like if Dexter got you, but you look up and they've got like
Dexter sucked. He took no pleasure in this.
Right.
Like, why is there an espresso in this kill room?
He didn't love
the game. Thoughtful of them.
He didn't love the game.
Like
didn't have the want to.
You're about to get slaughtered by the county's most prolific serial killer and you look up and they've just got like couple of really nice neon, like, you know, swoopy, you know, joy.
You look up and you're like, oh, I talked to him before he had his coffee. That's why this is happening.
It's always about manners.
Was there.
If I'd just been polite.
Laid out. Oh, Hobby Lobby took out a full page newspaper ad calling for Obi Lobby. Man, that's festive.
JFK and the penis of Napoleon. We would like to request this artifact back.
It is very important to us.
Honestly,
this I don't know how many artifacts imperial penis.
It is the only thing holding his ghost on the Isle of Elba.
Wait, like a physical anchor or like a psychic anchor?
Both.
We have exiled him through his horcrux.
Somebody's gesturing wildly in the control room. Are we in trouble?
Cut! Napoleon's penis sponsors this segment.
This is the second episode this week where we're going to get into weird Ghostbusters sexual theatrics. Welcome to week zero of college football season.
Woo! Yes, that's definitely what we're here to talk about. Hobby Lobby, by the way, buys antiquities because
buys.
I'm convinced they're doing that because what they're trying to do is take out the competition. If they are really think about it, they're into two things: crafts and extremely, extremely enthusiastic evangelical Christianity. So if they're into those two things, what are they going to need to corner the market on? Other religions and crafts. What are like, what's the apex of crafts? That's right. Ancient relics. They're just going to acquire it all.
Okay. I'm gonna say one thing in their defense, devil's advocate here.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Hang on. I'm going somewhere with this. I think anybody anywhere should be able to steal antiquities from England and it's not a crime.
That's fair.
Under international backseas protocol.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like the idea that Michaels is the less accomplished little brother store to Hobby Lobby, so they're trying to steal ancient texts, but they're all forged.
Joanne Fabrics wants a word.
Michaels is also the lapsed Catholic of craft stores.
Nope. Let's unpack this. Go.
St. Michaels.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, I'm still unpacking a lot of shit, literally and emotionally.
Yeah.
Over here at Michaels.
Trying to take out. I've got this wire and these blocks of foam. I'm going to figure it all out.
So all those framing coupons are really just cries for help.
Uh huh. Yeah, I go to church on Christmas with my parents, but I don't take communion because I'm just not into it anymore.
See, in so many like Catholic heavy parts of Europe, this makes you a totally fine Catholic.
See, I think the actual reason why Hobby Lobby is going after these relics is because they are anti-crafts. Like if you think about relics, the whole thing about a relic is that it's one of one. Well, unless it's like a saint's finger, in which case it's one of 10. But still, it's extremely limited edition. These are the original NFTs.
Thank you for the specificity, Ryan.
But non-fungible toes is what they were called back in the day.
So, Ryan, you're saying Hobby Lobby is being extremely anti-Catholic by attempting to remove relics from
Correct,
the marketplace
because,
entirely.
Like, if people, the more people spend on relics, the less they will spend on crafts that we can make thousands of.
Mm.
Man, you know, we thought Spencer was the only anti-Catholic.
You don't want people to be into these, like, oh, I have like this. I have the only copy of this thing, and it's like, no, we want to sell 1,000 of these.
It's an unfair slander. I am not anti-Catholic. I just don't like going to any church.
There's so many relics that are like, there kind of are 1,000 of them.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, and I think another thing, by the way, I'm not anti-Catholic because, again, I did.
That's a throwback to an earlier episode. I was just trying to shoehorn it in.
Okay, they don't know that.
I know.
You know.
That's what makes it funny.
Oh, Spencer, I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
Would you like to play my favorite game, Guess the Fake Musical?
Yes!
I would.
This is on point. I have two rounds of this game.
I don't have an air horn this morning.
So the way it works for everybody who hasn't listened to this game before, I'm going to read a synopsis of three musicals. Two of them are real, like Broadway real, not three shows in Tucson real. One of them is fake, and I made it up. And Spencer has to guess which one is fake. He is surprisingly good at this for somebody who hates musical theater. Except
somebody
for, like,
who says he hates musical theater but loves wrestling.
I'm deeply embarrassed by it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
He's seen Les Mis like five times.
Round one.
Is that wrestling or musical theater?
No, musical theater is deeply embarrassing. Wrestling is divine. Wrestling is the highest form of art. Yeah. And embarrassing.
Round one. Here are your three choices. Identify the fake musical, please.
Okay.
Show one, Van Ghost. After suffering severe pneumonia, Paul Cézanne lies on the brink of death. He slips in and out of consciousness, reflecting on his career until he is visited by the ghost of a contemporary, Vincent van Gogh, who implores him to recover and create one last painting.
Can I pause you for a second? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that if it were real, that would really, like, it would suck and I would hate sitting through it. That is such an awesome idea. That is so metal.
Like for a musical or for real life?
Both. Okay. It's so awesome. Like if that happened to me, if I was like dying and, you know, Vincent van Gogh popped up and was like, hey, bro, I feel like this is the best thing that ever happened. So excited.
Show two, Into the Light. Mm-hmm. James Prescott, a physicist from Los Alamos, is attempting to prove or disprove the truth of the Shroud of Turin. His obsession with his task strains his relationship with his wife and his young son.
Okay.
Show three, Milk and Honey. The story mm-hmm. of a busload of lonely American widows hoping to catch husbands while touring Israel, set against the backdrop of the country's struggle for recognition as an independent nation.
I'm going to say that two is the fake musical.
Into the Light, the one about the Shroud of Turin.
No, that sounds real. I'm going to go the first one.
Van Ghost is the fake musical. Great job.
Wow. Damn, yeah. How does he do this?
I do it every time. Pardon me.
Hang on.
I got the trumpet fanfare. Mm-hmm. It's the Levitard show now, baby.
Ironically, Hobby Lobby owns the Shroud of Turin now.
Yeah. What kind of songs do you sing about, like, doing academics on the Shroud of Turin?
It doesn't matter.
Listen, like, they made a musical about chess.
Yeah, you can.
And
you
it's
can
amazing.
Write, you can I mean, write a I, bad song about anything.
I'm unfamiliar with this world, so, like, I guess the idea of writing songs about, like, we're testing the freaking DNA and what have you on this ancient, mm-hmm. ancient garment.
Let me see if I can find some of the songs.
I mean, I guess they're a Jurassic Park song, so, like, DNA music isn't that weird.
Let's see. Here are some of the musical numbers. I'm just going to tell you the titles. The Data.
It can all be explained.
To Measure the Darkness. There are several songs called The Testing.
This is the nerdiest musical.
Yeah, this isn't great.
This is AP musical.
Played 13 previews and closed after 6 performances.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Too good to live. Spencer, do you want to do round two of this? There's only two rounds today.
Okay, yeah, I know. I'll nail round two. Let's go.
Okay. Here are your three musicals. Via Galactica, a futuristic story of social outcasts living on an asteroid in the year 2972. One of them is a space sanitation man who collects trash in a garbage ship called the Helen of Troy.
No, that one's real. I'm just going to call it. That one's absolutely real.
Man on the Moon. An American astronaut leads a mission of interplanetary dignitaries to prevent the destruction of the universe by a bomb that has been placed on the moon by an evil scientist.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, Cosmonaut Zhivago. A young, newly married Russian doctor is drafted into the Bolshevik space militia, falls in love with an intergalactic traveler, and saves a space colony from destruction with poetry. Which one is fake?
That's such a sick plot.
Which one is fake?
That's so awesome, and I bet it sucks so hard. I'm going to say the second one because it's the least crazy.
Man on the Moon was real.
Goddamn!
It was.
That's the first one you've gotten wrong.
It was written by...
That's so boring.
One of the Mamas and the Papas singers, Andy Warhol, was the producer.
That's why it's ass. Yeah.
Closed after two performances with horrible reviews. Cosmonaut Zhivago is the fake musical.
Wow.
That should be real.
That's great work, Ryan, because that one is about like the power of words will save the universe, which is the type of shit writers write.
Oh, 100%. Right. Yes.
That's good. That's very sneaky.
The only thing that would make it more musical is this. We need to work New York, because remember, every musical has this blatant suck up to New York number.
Space New York.
Right, even
Space New York, it's the greatest place in the world.
We found a planet that's nothing but New York.
Sing it to New Yorkers and people who are here because it's New York.
That happens in Super Mario Odyssey.
It does. Super Mario Odyssey is a musical. But yeah, you should write that.
The end of it's a musical.
I guess Coruscant is just Space New York.
Yeah. That's all it is.
And look what happens.
Yeah.
It went great.
What happens? And the Jedi are DJs.
It now has become Space New Mexico. We just test bombs on it.
Was it Space Texas before? Space Dallas?
Yeah, maybe. It's like Space El Paso. And then
Space Dallas would be grim.
Space Vegas in The Last Jedi was lit. I know it was supposed to be like,
it kind of is.
Yeah, like
Space Vegas was in
Last Jedi.
The Death Star is Space Dallas Fort Worth Airport, I would argue. Really? Well, like, God, it's nothing but halls.
How long have we said that Dallas is just Nashville with more office buildings? That is the Death Star.
That's I think true. The exhaust port that saves the day, that's Fort Worth.
Guys. Guys, I'd like
that's
to time
Pecan
in.
Lodge.
Canto Bite is not Space Vegas. It's Space Monaco. Get it right.
Thank you for the correction.
It is long past time this show started getting
that
some live fact checking.
Smooth voice.
You couldn't get like a 64-ounce beer in Canto Bite, right? Like, that's probably not happening.
Hey, man, do you want to sit in BB-8 every week? Because none of us have good radio voices.
BB-8 is kind of shaped like a party ball.
Rolling keg.
Oh man, if you could tap BB-8, like if they just did that, like
you know they've done that.
Mm-hmm. I want to see BB-8 drunk.
What you really should do is use him for cocktails, right? Like
stuff.
You don't want to put beer in BB-8, but you could definitely use him as like a
R2-D2 serves drinks on Java's party barge. Remember?
He does. But is he making them or is he just?
No, he's got a little drink. He's a little end table.
Yeah,
he's getting people trashed, right? Because think about that. When Java gets drunk, when Java dies, he's definitely hammered. Like, he's definitely trashed off his ass when he dies, right? And getting choked by a lady in a bikini, which, I like, 30% of the guys watching that movie are like, that's way to go. That's
Jerry
way to go.
Jones watched this, and he was like, that's I'm going to live my whole life like that.
I'm going to get there.
My whole life.
A lot of guys watched that and said, I'm going to become a hut.
I'm going to have a party barge, and I'm going to have an empty hole that I drop my enemies into that eats them.
Does BB-8 count as a vehicle? If so, is he able to...
You can't ride him.
Well, like, is he able to transport himself while intoxicated?
Can he operate himself while filled with alcohol?
Can robots get DUIs, is your question?
Yeah, I realize this is very, like, this is more like an Asimov-level spiritual question.
Yeah, because this goes straight into whether robots have free will.
Oh, robots definitely in the Star Wars universe have free will. R2-D2 is just, like, an enormous asshole. For most of the series.
3PO is aware of his free will, but denies it. He's very Calvinist.
I was kidding. Yes.
He's like kind of resents that he has free will.
What's the name of the robot in Star Wars Rebels who is absolutely the demonstration that there is free will and it could be malicious?
Chopper.
Chopper. Thank you.
C-110P.
Yeah. Chopper commits murder. You nerd. In that, okay? Now, it's attempted murder because it's not exactly successful because a rival robot shows up and actually does his job well, and the crew express their satisfaction and affection for this droid, and the droid's like, I think I got your job, Chopper, and they're overlooking like a beautiful planet that they're leaving with an open hatch, and Chopper's like, ha-ha, boom, and just knocks him out and just kills him because he was going to take his job. Like, they have free will, and they can be malicious.
Chopper makes R2-D2 look very congenial.
Correct.
He's an asshole. Chopper's an asshole, man.
I love Chopper. Chopper's the dream. What do you do? I do my job poorly, and then I take out 10,000 stormtroopers at once.
Chopper makes R2 look like the footstool of the bourgeoisie.
Running dog. of the Rebel Alliance.
All right, so wait. If robots in the Star Wars universe have free will, does that mean, like, is IG-88 a bounty hunter because he loves it?
Yes. Yeah, man. Love of the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just,
do you have to pay robots in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah.
Yeah. IG-88 takes credits, man.
Right, remember? But, like, does 3PO have money?
If he does, he's just an idiot with
it. But he's like very aristocratic and feudal, like, you know, like paying him with like honor and dignity and shit. He likes that. He thinks that's currency, you know?
Yeah. What would he
say? There are some labor issues here I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah. Well, like the lady robot in Solo, right? Like if her and 3PO were to have a debate, she would radicalize him in seconds.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I feel like he'd snitch her out. Like he'd go along with it, then he'd turn around and say, "Hey, humans, this one over here is trying to organize an uprising."
He would. 3PO's a Tory, right, at heart. Like he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys. Like apply maids to the problem.
Yeah. When he like stumbles upon the stormtrooper in Empire, he's like, "Oh, we're not doing anything. We're just please don't bother us." In no way is he like, "Oh, you, I'm gonna f you up." No, he's like,
he has his moments. He's had his moments, like whenever they change a color of, like, put a red limb on him,
sure,
or put a put a droid hat head on him. He's had some murder moments.
Or when they do reverse his programming, like in the last in the Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker, and now all of a sudden he's got Sith programming, so he's gonna talk like this. But then we'll clear it up.
We have our show
minutes
every week because none of the rest of us have radio voices.
Yeah.
I don't have a real world voice even.
Nah, me neither.
I do, you know, I do like that people confuse you for Charlie Day. That's good.
Ryan, I think you've circled all the way around to you, like you do have a radio voice.
Yeah. It's yours alone.
That says a lot about radio.
I mean, have you ever heard Mad Dog Russo? That, like, that man's
been not making me feel better.
We have radio voices, we just don't deploy them.
Yeah.
Hey, you sound like the guy on ESPN who constantly gets embarrassed by athletes. Cool.
It's a job, brother.
Awesome.
Checks clear.
not for me, they don't.
That's how you know
I sound like it.
That's how you know I'd end up working for the Empire. Checks clear, brother.
That's what I should do. I should be like, that's going to be my new side gig. It's like, hey, does your kid want a birthday call from Chris Mad Dog Russo? Well, I'll do it for $20.
Like slightly angry dog.
Sleepy dog.
Less mad dog.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
I don't want to be too extreme on this, but he failed America.
Stugatz.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Is the okay? Real quick, media personalities you would give to whose birthday calls you would give to a child whose parents you don't like?
Francesa number one with a bullet.
Who am I calling?
Yeah.
Who is this? How old?
Does it really work? Does it work without the dichotomy though? Does he work, Katie, as a solo act?
Katie, happy 8th birthday.
Ryan's doing the face too.
Yeah. Just it's good.
Chugging a Diet Coke the whole time.
Whole time. I think they should trade Aaron Judge.
You know,
I would send Pablo Torre, because children need to know that there are going to be people out there who always are going to be smarter than them.
You look at the Jets and you say, who's the Chad Pennington for this time and age? They don't have one. Katie, I think that's the problem. That's the problem, Katie. It starts with a Chad Pennington. You either have him or you don't.
I'd get Ray Hudson. I'd get Ray Hudson to call a kid because that'd be terrifying, right?
Messi!
Just into the phone.
Genius! El Mago!
Well, let's go all the way and get Mike Breen then.
Bang! By the way, Mike Frances is a reminder that, like, when you figure out what people actually like regionally, it always embarrasses the place. I had no idea who Mike Francesa was until I was like 35. And
until
then I realized that,
until that profile came, until the until New Yorker profile, piece, oh, came God. Out.
It's, we will get to that.
Just read the whole thing aloud, like a bedtime story.
I will read that because we need to discuss that at all times, every day. The best profile that the New Yorker ever put out, and the only one I think is relevant to any sports talk radio, is the profile of Mad Dog and Francesa that they did, detailing their relationship, in particular, the two of them watching The Horse Whisperer, the Robert Redford film.
Like together in a hotel room.
Yes, watching it together in a hotel room. I will get to that once I look it up here on my phone. But I watched that and I was like, oh yeah, New York ain't shit. Like there's this just a place. If this is what y'all are listening to all day, if this man makes money doing things, I was like, we have this guy too. He could read the phone book as well on air. And he's listening to some guy from Queens just go like, yeah, I don't know. Brandon Jacobs is the greatest running back I've ever. Okay, I'll talk to you later. That's it.
You're describing like the reverse of like someone from DC discovering Paul Feinbaum is a big deal.
Correct.
Man.
Correct. Which Feinbaum is a big deal.
I'd have Jeff Van Gundy call SEC a kid for Network. Their birthday because it'd just be like, hey.
SEC Network SEC, honk. Spencer SEC Network Hall honk. Says Paul Feinbaum is a big deal.
Can you make money? Can you make as much money as that man has made saying 32 words an hour? This is what
he make
does.
As much money that man all, has
no,
made.
No, Feinbaum opens
in any
Feinbaum,
way.
Feinbaum opens the mic and goes, "We've got the captain from Jackson, captain."
And then
dude
and
talks
it
for 7 minutes,
hour.
And Feinbaum, yeah, and that's the
it's
top.
It's not
of the hour.
An accident that he looks like the saw puppet with the mask off.
Thanks for calling. The man could play par with words on an hour. If you set that par at like 150, we'd be fine. Unless he talks. The only time he'll do that is if he's bored and he calls somebody that he's just like, I really don't want to talk about football. What war books you reading? That's when Feinbaum will talk.
What war books are we reading, guys?
I am, look up your war books. I'm going to read this. That is from a New Yorker profile called The Boys.
Read the part about the horse.
I am reading that.
I am confident we have read this on the show at least twice.
I don't care. I'm going to read it again.
We haven't read it on this show.
Not on this show. Okay. It's new to them.
No, it's new to everyone here. Okay. And it's by Nick Palmgarten, who is the greatest profile writer of all time because he had this idea. And in addition, he caught this moment between the two of them when they are having a rare moment of togetherness. The joke is that the two of them actually do not like, they're not real friends, right? They don't like hang a lot.
Like us.
Exactly, like us. So let me get to this. I will find it. I am definitely killing time here while I scroll and find the right line.
I just found out that Mike Francesa did a year at USF in Tampa before transferring back to New York.
Oh, that's a musical.
What the hell? If you went to college with Mike Francesa for 1 year in Tampa, please email me. I just want to
sound off in the comments.
What the hell? What the hell was Mike Francesa doing in 1974?
Gun
Tampa?
Running.
Founding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's what it was. Mm. Yes.
Do you think he thinks about Tampa like Rio? That's what like some people from the Northeast think about Tampa. They're like, God, it's like Rio de Janeiro down there.
Ryan, you're a native.
Yep, just tits out all day in Tampa.
Man, that's got just enough alliteration in it to pass for a civic slogan. Right underneath it, that's tits out all day in Tampa.
Toad. That's why Tampa's acrostic is toad. Tits out all day.
Spencer's still scrolling, so I'm going to tell about my favorite city civic sign. None of you are golfers, right?
Silence.
Has
on
anybody
this
besides
end.
Me ever been to Bandon Dunes? Has anybody been to Bandon in Oregon, where Bandon Dunes is? Famous golf course?
No.
All right. So are we familiar with Clippy? The little paperclip
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of Microsoft Word of Europe.
Okay. I love Clippy.
So Bandon, Oregon is this town attached to Bandon Dunes, this beautiful, rolling, famous golf course by the sea. And in the dead ass middle of this small town, instead of like a welcome to Bandon, which, you know, you've seen, or sometimes when you're leaving a town, you'll see, you know, we hope you enjoyed your stay, come back soon. In the dead ass middle of town, there's a banner across the main street of Bandon that just says, we hope you are enjoying Bandon. And it's like Clippy was the mayor and he just put up a little sign that's like, it looks like you're enjoying our city. Would you like some help with that?
That feels very like hasty video game. Like we got to add some flavor to
it. It feels like John Boyce broke Contain and just manifested himself into the civic architecture of a city on the opposite coast.
I love the interstitial world building. Like if you're you know, starting the story in media race and you're like, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, guess what, buddy? It's you.
So instead of you are now entering or you are now leaving, it's you are still here. That's very grounding. It's very centering.
Right? I have the passage. Mike and the Mad Dog are not friends, really. They hardly spend any time together outside the studio beyond appearing at charity events and walking to the parking lot after the show. But on the air, they sound as though they were close enough to share gum. During exciting games, Francesa and Russo often talk on the phone. Francesa told me, with some exaggeration, that on the night of this year's triple overtime playoff thriller between the New Jersey Nets and the Detroit Pistons, Dog called me 42 times. Francesa and Russo have become so accustomed to talking to each other about sports that even when they are talking about something else, they sound as if they're discussing a faked punt or a quirk in the Yankees' schedule. A few years ago, circumstances, Knicks Pacers, conference finals in Indy, Francesa's hotel room not ready, placed the two of them for an hour or so in a hotel room together. A rare occurrence.
This really tells you like how far ago we're talking in time when you're like, yes, Knicks Pacers in the conference finals.
Knicks yes. In the playoffs.
And a hotel room without electricity, right? That's how long ago this was. Also, I like that putting them in the same room is like caging dogs and cats together. It just shouldn't be done, right? Like we had them in the same cage. When they are on the road, they often stay in separate hotels. I always stay in the best hotel, Francesa told me. That is the most New York shit I have ever heard. That you would go out of your way to be like, I always stay in the best hotel. I know things. Prestige.
I got a guy. Steak for every meal. Breakfast, every steak, meal. Lunch, steak.
Sounds brunch. Like something who's got a guy. Like, I got a hotel guy.
I wear a uniform and it indicates valor. Like, that's the most New York shit ever. Anyway, Chris Carlin, their producer at the time, who now has a show of his own on WFAN, walked in to find them watching The Horse Whisperer. Carlin started to speak, but they shushed him. On the screen, Robert Redford was breaking up with Kristen Scott Thomas. When the scene was over, Russo said solemnly, Mikey, he had to do it. He had to do it.
It was the right move, dog, Francesa replied. The right move.
That happened in real life, and he got to write it down. That should have gotten a Pulitzer Prize.
I have some breaking news here.
Please.
You are we all
is
caught
it about
up
Kristen
on
Scott Thomas? I hope it is.
Kind of. Are we all caught up on the mascot name fight in South Carolina?
Yes.
About them not using Sir Big Spur.
Sir Big Spur.
Spencer, do you want to explain this?
Yes. So Sir Big Spur is or was the actual live mascot for the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Who, if you remember, Sir Big Spur, Order of the British Empire, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, OBE. Yes. He and Ben Kingsley both
and
share
Judy
this
Dench
honor.
The same. Right? Yeah, that's Ben Thunderbird's Kingsley.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
I did that for you.
Yeah.
So Sir Big Spur is the official live mascot. It is a threateningly large chicken, if you want to know. I mean, it is bigger than a chicken should be. And there is a serious debate over the chicken, because the chicken, a lot of mascots, by the way, like they're not property of the university. Somebody just has them and they bring them to games, like Ugga for UGA, right? Their big asthmatic bulldog, right? Big obese asthmatic inbred bulldog that they bring to games does not belong to the university.
This isn't actually the argument. The argument is about the name, because I'm trying to get to the good part.
Correct.
Okay. We're skipping all this shit.
So anyway,
this is not the usual live mascot argument. This is the argument over whether or not they are allowed to use the name Sir Big Spur due to there's the family that owned the original rooster is beefing with the university. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to get to is that the state, South Carolina's finest college football newspaper, is suggesting new names, including Marco Pollo, Cluck Norris, and Cock Commander.
Yeah.
How is anything other than Cock Commander possibly going to win?
That's a great
question.
You
had me at one until three showed
up. I mean,
I'm holding out for Marco Pollo.
They should call him Spurrier.
He's not going to win.
No, because nobody in South Carolina is going to get the joke.
Well, how many college students are voting on it? I think that determines the entire thing.
Correct. Like this is the school that it's for years, its largest beyond South Carolina claim to fame was that you could buy a hat that said Cox on it in large lettering.
Go Cox.
See?
Other suggestions. Cock-a-doodle dude.
No.
That implies some sort of like anthropomorphism that's not there. Really sounds like is like a Don Bluth animated film.
Kickin' Chicken. No.
That's
a you're gonna name the chicken after meal. Its own jail? That's you can't name a chicken coop.
What if you call it Cooper Manning?
Hey now. There's some heritage.
They should just call they're not gonna call it Spurrier, right? Like greatest coach in the history of the program.
Sir Vic Spurrier.
I think the real opportunity South Carolina is missing here. If you're going to like the live mascot is not it has definitely declined in usage over the last, I don't know, what would we say, 30, 40 years? Mm-hmm. It used to be, you know, Florida had an alligator at games and we're sort of down to, you know, dogs, Ralphie, Bevo,
birds,
Mike the Tiger. But I think if you have a bird, I think if you have a rooster specifically, the move is not, oh, here is our one live rooster. It's here are 100. Here are the 100 roosters we bring to games. And we let them roam free. And
swarm. And
much like you can't do anything about the cowbells at Mississippi State because it's tradition, just say it's tradition. It is tradition at South Carolina to let 250 live roosters loose in the stadium.
That's the
and
city
council. And if the
council.
SEC finds it,
those are the Columbia
it,
aldermen.
That's right. If the SEC finds us for it, that's discrimination.
They're going to lose a star player when they trip over the chicken on the field and they tear their ACL.
Chicken.
That's South Carolina.
15 chickens.
They're all going to get 85 chickens. Poisoning.
Yeah, but you could kill the chicken on site too, yeah. Which would satisfy a lot of people.
Yep. Like I think that's what you need to
Miami fans, you're kind of with me now, huh?
Your stadium's not distinctive because you have one chicken. If you just have a shitload of them and they're totally ungovernable, like that's an atmosphere.
I think you won them at the word ungovernable. Yes. What if we said every school has a live mascot budget? Like one tiger, what's that cost? Like $500? I don't know. I've never priced a tiger. Probably a lot more than $500. But however much more. In Louisiana, probably not much more. But however much Mike the Tiger would cost on the open market, that is how many dollars worth of chickens you get to fill your stadium with.
Okay, so he's our market cap.
Okay.
Hang on.
You can do anything, by the way, to make that.
For the second time this week, I'm Googling cheap live meat near me.
You can do anything you want in that stadium.
Hey,
cheapelkmeat.com
is available, by the way.
Cheap Tiger. Cheap Tiger.
Cheap tiger.
See if you can find Ryan. Nope, your assignment is find a tiger
live. Tiger.
Does anybody remember at one point a couple years ago we did an episode that was devoted entirely to states where you don't have to file paperwork to own a tiger?
Okay, here we go. Baby tigers for sale online, $1,500.
Ooh.
Okay. So
why
live.
Am I getting coals?
How did you $1,500?
That's what it says. Live roosters
details
for sale.
On their meal and how to train them. It's weird that you can just click add to cart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you how on exoticwildcats.com?
How much is
you're
a rooster?
Gonna ship it to you?
You can buy a lion?
What? No.
Wow. Yeah, a chicken.
No. It says according lion to the, for sale.
According to the internet, a chicken is $2. So there you go. 750 roosters.
That's perfect. That's
roaming
perfect.
The sidelines.
That's perfect.
Chickens are free in Miami, I think.
I don't think this website is real.
I hope it's not real.
The lions are social, so would stay with the Jank Vapes Dole Whip family for life.
Okay.
But tigers are not.
What about this seems wrong to you?
Yeah.
This really sounds like the Dole Whip now.
What about? I mean, yeah, there's a SEO action going on there, but it's real.
We deliver to your doorstep.
Oh, don't do that. Please, garage.
No, no.
Please, backyard or garage. I do not want the doorstep.
Actually,
line.
Chris Whittingham, what's your address? Real quick.
Yeah. Just give it out on the air?
Would you rather, fine.
Chris, would you rather
we read Spencer's phone number all the time.
Would you rather us send you a live tiger or 250 live chickens?
The chickens. I'll take the chickens. Right. You can send them all to the Clevelander, 1020 South
Black
Ocean
Panthers.
Drive.
Okay.
Chris, here's where you fucked up. It's hard. Like, I don't think we actually could send you a live tiger, but we can send you live chickens. We can do that.
Counter offer. All right. The best price I'm seeing for 1,000 worms is $14. Okay. So that would be what? I don't have the math in front of me. Like a million worms or a tiger? Which do you want?
Where are we going to keep them?
In the stadium.
What's
on the field?
Yeah, but they're gonna.
That's grass.
There's no pageantry there.
There's still some pageantry.
I think that's the primary concern.
What, do you want to teach them how to play trumpets?
If possible.
Okay.
In all seriousness, if there are people that you don't like out there, you can order snake food and have hundreds of frozen dead mice delivered pretty much anywhere, and it's not expensive.
It's true. Reptile people have an amazing Amazon wish list. Like, if you... really want to peruse stuff.
Like literal reptile people?
Their Instagram ads must be bonkers.
Yeah, Instagram just is like, I don't know.
It's all hot.
I don't know, man. Who searches for heat lamps and live mice?
Didn't
I send you a block of frozen mice for your birthday one year?
You tried to, yeah. It went to the wrong address, meaning you sent a block of frozen mice to a total stranger.
Sorry.
Probably changed your life.
Probably. That total stranger, a boa constrictor who lived at my old address.
Oh my God, my boss, they probably got this and they're like, my boss knows I'm embezzling. I have to stop.
He's going to feed me to his snake.
And now that person is not embezzling anymore. So you changed somebody's life.
That person had the most confusing goddamn day. They open up this weird dry ice box and in it there are a bunch of dead mice and they're like, so that's how my day's starting. I don't know who Spencer Hall is, but he f***ed up. He messed something up.
I thought you needed a birthday treat.
Like, what do you even do at that point? You don't call somebody and be like, yeah, this got misdelivered.
Oh, I definitely did not follow up.
As an L and move on, right?
No, I investigate because I have bad
you
ideas.
Investigate. You want to know who?
I want to know.
Jesus.
I will know. And that's why I'm the guy who ends up dead in the first act of a Coen Brothers movie. I found some money. Surely this will be fine.
I will keep it.
Don't cry because it's over, man. Smile because it happened.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.